Good morning. Welcome to The Conversation on KMUN. My name is Graham Nystrom. Happy to be your host today. This is our live call-in show where your voice is the one that matters. Your thoughts, your opinions, your feelings. Share them with the community. Make use of your community radio station. The number to call is 503-325-0010. Join the conversation. Today, we're doing an election reflection show. And I just want to know how everyone is feeling. It doesn't matter who you voted for, what your anticipated or hoped for outcomes were. Call and check in. Let me know what you think. What are you most excited about? What are you most disappointed about? Any surprises? And for those of you listening that are not into politics, I'm going to offer a side conversation. And that is, what are your family's Thanksgiving plans this year? How are you handling holidays in a pandemic? I'd like to hear about that too. I think every family is struggling with how to be safe, but how to still get together and honor the importance of spending time with your loved ones. 503-325-0010. What's the temperature out there? And I want to say thanks to Kathleen and Joanne, as always, for their work during Morning Edition and the Ship Report. Sounds like we've got a storm heading our way, so I want to reaffirm what Joanne mentioned about testing your generator and charging your batteries, filling up your gas tank, have some food, have some water, have some blankets. And hopefully it won't be as bad as they're predicting. really hoping to hear from the audience today. Three open phone lines. And I think there's a lot to talk about. Would you like to kick us off? Why don't you call us now, 503-325-0010. Looks like somebody bit. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I cannot believe that at this point in time, President Trump will not give up and just leave office. He's kicking and screaming all the way. I mean, he makes me feel like somebody that might just trash the White House just to be rebellious. We need our President Biden to be able to get on it. So many people are dying of corona. And I was surprised how many people are Republican, which to me now means racist. That saddened me to find out 71 million people voted for Trump and all his great things. And I'm going, what did he do that was wrong? What did he do for you?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the internet, so I don't see all the garbage that people can read. You know, so my mind's kind of more pure. I don't have TV. I don't have the internet. I just listen to public radio and read.
Do you hear that, folks? Keep your mind pure by listening to KMUN and KMUN only.
No, not just KMUN.
Oh,
I listen to the Portland Public Radio
I'm
program,
just kidding.
Too.
Yeah, that's great. So let me ask you this. Is there anything that you are feeling really good about or excited about or looking forward to?
I'm glad that Biden got it because we really need to get a handle on the coronavirus. I'm tired of people protesting the mask, and I don't know how else we could stop it. I don't want to live in a mask forever. So I'm looking forward to a new regime and somebody getting a handle on this coronavirus, and we got to get it going.
So action on the coronavirus is your number one priority for the new administration.
That's the beginning. We can't do anything else until the country's healthy.
True.
You know?
Any other thoughts? Anything on the local front, or what are your Thanksgiving plans? How's your family doing that?
Well, actually, I live here all by myself, and my family all lives in the other part of the country, so I guess I'll be doing it with my cat.
Well, sounds like you'll be safe.
Too, so.
Cool. Well, I wish you a happy holiday season, and thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
So number one priority from that caller was more effective action and oversight from the federal government on addressing the coronavirus. How about you? What do you think? What's your big priority? I've heard Betsy DeVos's name thrown around, maybe something shifting in the Secretary of Education Department. What are you looking forward to? How are you feeling? 503-325-0010. I think that most of the families in my close circle are not gathering together for Thanksgiving. But what about you? Is there a way that you think you can get together safely? Are you going to wear masks and try to social distance with the family? Or is everybody calling it off? What's the status? 503-325-0010. Three open lines. We'd love to hear from you. Here's a little music. Back to the conversation. Looks like we've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there, Graham. I am so happy to talk to you with this. I'm going to be...
Go ahead.
Yeah. I am going to have a quinoa saute for Thanksgiving.
A quinoa saute, that sounds good.
Yeah, I'm a vegetarian.
Is it a quinoa saute for one, or are you having the whole family over?
No, my partner is Chris Farrar. We're going to have a quinoa saute.
Perfect. Yeah, well, so, keep it intimate with just the closest of the people. My brother refers to the folks that you encounter in your daily life as your threat radius in the coronavirus, and...
Yeah.
So I think mine is about four people wide, five people at the most. But yeah, got to stay safe. And it sounds like you're going to stay healthy, too. So good job there.
Yeah. So thank you for your show.
Well, it's
thank
my
you.
Pleasure. Yep. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
If you're just tuning in, this is The Conversation, and we are doing a show reflecting on the recent elections, checking in, seeing how everyone is feeling about the outcomes and what you're looking forward to in the near future. 503-325-0010. This is a live call-in show, and we would love to put your voice on the air. Our next caller has called in. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. We're just waiting while we turn off the radio, it sounds like. Hi, are you there? Welcome to the conversation. Okay, well, maybe that caller can try to call back. It might have been a bad connection. 503-325-0010 is the number to call. And let us know what you think about the outcome of the recent election. I don't have a lot to say, so I'm really hoping that you'll call in. It's not that I didn't prepare, but it's that this whole show is about hearing from you. And so putting the pressure on to the community to call in. And it looks like we've got our next caller on the air. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Graham.
Oh, it's Paul.
You know, hi.
Hey, good morning.
good morning to you. Anyhow, I think a lot of people are just in plain shock. Today's shows would be, I think you'd have a whole lot more callers and, other than, I think people are just withdrawing.
Shocked and also fatigued, maybe.
I would say so. I just can't believe this. It's some sort of pooch that's going on. And I don't know. What were we going to do about it?
Forgive me, that's a new word, a poochk?
Well, it's like an internal... It's like, we're not leaving.
Oh, right.
It's sort of like this internal thing that happens in some less sophisticated countries. But I think that's what we're experiencing. This guy's refusing, and putting our national security in jeopardy, and I don't think he cares. I think he cares only about himself. I think one of his big concerns is the fact that there's so many lawsuits pending against this guy that he cannot pardon himself for or have his current vice president pardon him for. And I think he's running very scared and very selfish and very childish. And I think we're all paying the price. My priority has been for the last 7 years is working to get veterinary client information sheets out on drugs, certain drugs the FDA has listed as potentially explosive and can truly harm or kill an animal. I'm having a real hard time with it. But I'm going to continue until this happens. I think pets are part of your family, and having one killed because of the lack of information about a prescription drug is devastating. It changed my life. But anyhow...
So in what sense are you having a hard time with it?
Well, I don't live in Oregon. I live in Washington State, in Ocean Shores. And so I'm dealing with this Washington State Veterinary Board of Governors, and they have, without any science, without recognizing the science, through innuendo only, have denied this move, which would change a certain part of our RCW, our WAC, to, they already have in their complete directions for use. But they're not requiring it, and animals are suffering and dying, and families are being hurt terribly. If you've got a pet, this would be an extra special time over the holiday to buy them a present.
Yeah, well, they're invited to Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, God, yes. I mean... But our current doggy he runs the house. We just, go fetch and get.
Yeah, that's good. It takes the pressure off.
It does. It's great entertainment. And there's a lot of pets out there that need homes. And I would suggest, to brighten your day, go adopt a dog. You'll have fun. You'll make a great, great, everlasting, loving friend.
And you'll have an excuse to take a couple of walks every day.
There you go. Maybe even, say, wave at a neighbor or something. But, boy, people are just grounding. It's just, that's what I'm experiencing. I hope it's not the same for everybody.
Okay, well, one more question before you go.
Sure.
Was there anything that you felt was particularly enlightening or inspiring about either the acceptance speech of Biden or Kamala Harris?
Well, quite truthfully, I think Biden's a great guy, but I'm really looking forward to Vice President Harris becoming our president.
Okay.
I really am.
Yeah, she's a great speaker. And
she's marvelous in every way, I think. But that's the most enlightening thing I have to say about the whole episode.
Out of all the Democratic candidates from way back in the beginning, was there one that you would have preferred to see become elected besides Biden?
Well, Obama, I really enjoyed. I think some presidents really got dumped on, and it was circumstance and bad choices on their own, one being Johnson.
Well, I meant some of the candidates for this election, like, you know, there was the man who wanted universal income. I'm spacing on his name. But I know there was a lot of Bernie supporters that felt like he was their candidate. And I've heard that Bernie really likes Joe Biden, and that was one of the reasons that he kind of bowed out of the race so quickly. And
well, I think in a more advanced America that Bernie Sanders would have been an excellent president, maybe in a more advanced world.
But he can't quite cross the aisle like maybe Biden can?
Well, that's true. But, you know, the world is in chaos. You know, I'm an older person, well into my 70s, and I have never seen the amount of bloodshed, crime, discord. I never thought I would ever see something like this. I maybe was kind of an ignorant little kid. But, you know, this year has been shocking to me in so many different ways. I'm hoping that the coming year will be a little better. I sure would like to see the stress taken off of people. This virus has just been devastating, and we have this silly thing going on about masks, which makes me feel crazy. I've had confrontations with people in the grocery store about masks, and even with the staff, and I'm sort of going, what is the problem? I don't understand how something as simple as wearing a mask to protect yourself and protect others around you and just contribute to the effort of getting over this virus is such a problem for some people.
Well, hopefully the messaging can shift a little bit.
I hope so. But anyhow, I so much enjoy your show, and I wish everyone well this coming year, and maybe we'll get through this without too many more bumps and scrapes. We will see.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for joining the conversation.
Thank you, Graham.
Next caller, you've been waiting patiently. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Well, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I was very pleased with the outcome of the election. It was quite telling to me how many votes that Biden got over the YAM. And I just think that he's going to be a marvelous president. I do wish that the Kentuckians would have gotten rid of Mitch. I'm going in the tunnel, so I may lose you for just a second here.
I'll fill the time.
Okay, all good. The illustrious McConnell says, we don't need a big stimulus package. Obviously, that person doesn't live on the North Coast. He doesn't know what it's like here. I've been out of work since March, and
yeah.
He says we don't need a stimulus, or at least not a big one. Sorry, pal, but that got me through some really scary times. And now I'm, you know, I was able to bank some of it, but now I've, you know, I've had to use it to live on. And so I just think that the people on the right, they're so out of touch with, you know, ordinary people that aren't millionaires, that they don't have they don't have a clue as to what it's like.
Thank you for censoring yourself there.
Yeah, I'm trying. Anyway, that's my thoughts. I just, I'm very pleased with the outcome, and if the current president would just face reality and understand that not everybody likes them. You know, that's his big problem, is the wants to be liked, and personally, I can't stand him. I can't listen to him talk. I just don't like him at all, and I'm Well, I'll never be so glad as when he leaves.
Well, thanks for the call, and I'm glad that you brought up economic relief during COVID. I think that that's one of the really big issues that does need to be addressed.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Yep. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
If you're just joining us, it's The Conversation. 503-325-0010 is the number to call. We're doing an election reflection show. We've heard about the need to address the COVID crisis more seriously, maybe a federally mandated mask requirement. And how about a relief bill? How about another relief bill? It's been a while since the first one, and not a whole lot has changed. And I know that a lot of businesses have struggled to reopen, maybe against their better judgment, just due to the lack of relief funding. Any other things on your mind, what you would like to see happen in the next year or two or three or four or ten? We've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning, Graham. I think it's just time that we're over with all this political stuff. People have made a choice. Electoral College has made a choice. Get on with it. And no Thanksgiving plans. Just my dog, my cat, and myself.
Well, I hope that the getting on with it is just a matter of course and a matter of time. But once things are gotten on with, what are you looking forward to next year? What would you like to see happen?
I think I'd like to see us go back to being happy, healthy people with a government that actually does something.
Well, you put it succinctly.
Yeah. So you have a good holiday season yourself, and thanks for taking the call.
I will raise a glass to everyone being happy and healthy with you. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a nice one. I, too, would like to see everyone be happy and healthy next year and for the years to come. What about you? What are your thoughts on federal government? Do we have to think about it more than we should? Is it doing a good job? Does it represent the people? One of the couple side topics that I thought we might hit on today is the Electoral College and also campaign finance, which I think are both under question as to the effectiveness of both. So if you have thoughts on the Electoral College or campaign finance, love to hear from you. But in the meantime, we have another caller. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good. Good morning.
As far as the election, it was kind of nice to see Joe Biden's nice, even demeanor as he spoke to everybody, not getting up in arms or defensive. I worry about what we teach our children when we have leaders who, if you don't get what you want, if it doesn't go your way, just sue everybody. And it's nice to be able to point to somebody who can say, you know, let's all try to get along and play nice and play fair. So I found that to be encouraging.
It's nice to have good role models in high office.
And on a local level, what we can do here is just if somebody's really far across the aisle from you and really stuck in your way, sometimes it's hard to have conversations with them, but just a bit of kindness and understanding and try to see a little bit where they're coming from, and hopefully maybe they can see where we're coming from, so maybe we can actually sit down, not this year probably, but sit down to a nice Thanksgiving dinner, any other dinner, without awkward moments of conversations, you know, just try to see a little bit where the other side's coming from. Maybe there's a way to come together. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like the old adage was no politics or religion at the dinner table, right? Or at the bar.
But it seems almost
inescapable
really
to talk about it now.
Yeah.
I'm curious, something that I've talked about on the show is the stories that were told by different media sources, and I think that if you're a Republican, it's really hard to see things from a Democrat's perspective and vice versa, because it seems to me like we're being told different stories, and different quotes are being pulled that have a different effect on the listener. Is that something that you sense too?
Well, certainly, all it would take is for you to leave one or two words out of a sentence or take something out of context to kind of change the meaning of it. So, you're absolutely right with that. It's kind of hard to know if you can get a scope of different sources instead of just maybe one. And there is a problem, I think, when people go out looking for news, sometimes they kind of seem like they already know what they want to hear, and that may be what they tune into.
Yeah. What news sources do you like these days?
Well, it's a variety. I don't have TV service, but I'll do Pluto, and there are several different news outlets. I'm going to listen to you guys quite a bit. Thank you for doing what you do. You're greatly appreciated.
Cheers.
I try to keep an open mind. I have family members and friends that are completely across the aisle from what I am. And, you know, oftentimes we will have to avoid talking about politics, but, you know, sometimes they'll bring it up. And I try to say, what if the shoe was on the other foot? I mean, when Hillary Clinton ran, whether you liked or didn't like her, she actually won more of the popular vote, got the same amount of electoral votes. What would have happened had she said, well, I didn't win, so I'm going to sue you until I did? I wonder what they would think about that.
So many good questions. So many opportunities to put the shoe on the other foot.
Food for thought. I mean, I'm not, you know, wishing, you know, for them, for any, either side to go through anything. It's just, you know, like I say, it's hypothetical. So she conceded the election graciously for the good of the nation. So it's just one of those things. It is kind of a heated atmosphere. And it, like I say, when you've got kids or family and you're trying to teach them, you know, right from wrong, it's kind of hard to explain some of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, how do we teach our kids right from wrong these days?
Well, I think maybe just looking back to what we've been taught, hopefully. And but, yeah, it's tough. I mean, what you learn in kindergarten about play fair and don't cheat and respect others and things like that is maybe a good place to start. Maybe folks have forgotten that. I don't know.
Yeah, isn't there a book called All I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten or something?
Yeah, there is. I haven't heard much about it lately, but I kind of hope I do.
Yeah, that one was from way back.
Yeah.
Well, I sure appreciate the call.
I appreciate you. Keep doing what you do. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to The Conversation on KMUN. It's a live call-in show, and we're talking election results, campaign finance, electoral college, things that we're looking forward to in the coming years. One thing that I haven't heard much about yet, and I'm a little surprised, is the general request of the people of the United States to dismantle systemic racism where it exists. Gosh, we've got another caller, and I recognize the caller ID. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I don't know how you could, since I'm calling from my landline in Blodgett, Oregon.
Hi, Prudence.
Hi.
What do you got for us today?
I am aware of the typical caller, their leanings, given I'm one. I need to turn your... I don't... I had an unnerving, while the acceptance speech was happening, which I would have preferred listening to, I had a really alarming conversation with a dear friend of mine. I love this person. I've known him for since 2006, and he lives in Virginia, highly educated, owns two restaurants, previously owned a business that dealt with doctors, hospitals. He is a huge Trumper and is grief-stricken. And through the conversation, I realized what 71 million people, or is it 1,000? I'm not good with numbers. All these other people who are mourning, who believe the narrative, who apparently weren't listening to the... Well, you know, you might raise a question about, you know, that we hear our news and they hear their news, and I'm just so alarmed to realize what the other half, well, not the half, the other side believe. And I'm living in a campground where I'm one of two Democrats. So, yes, I was thrilled at the win, but I'm just very concerned about moving forward. I'm really relieved it's Biden because I don't know who else could pull off what he's looking forward to. Anyway, that's...
He's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, but he's got a good team, and I think he's... I don't know who else could step in. I mean, he... Thank goodness he worked as a vice president and knows people to call, and that he has Kamala. And he's been very soft-spoken, rational, calm. I just worry that people just are... oh, give Trump a little time. You know, this will be fine. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'm a little worried that Trump will create even worse situations in the next month.
Come on, Prudence, we need some optimism.
I know. Well, I'm just up here in the woods. I've got my next door neighbor here in the trailer over. Is we talk secretly on the phone, and you know, Corvallis is 30 minutes away, where there are rational people, and I'm in a ham radio club where I'm comfortable. I'm hopeful that come January 20th, things can begin to heal. I just didn't know it was such going to be a big. I didn't know how hard or high the hurdle was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worry that we are all immersed in our own source of news and our own people and our own worldview. And maybe have no idea what the other side believes, because nobody wants to talk politics. Nobody is talking politics with someone that they know is on the other side. And it's just so bizarre to even say the other side, but
of the aisle, we get it.
Yeah,
I think it's odd that no matter which side of the aisle you're on, that if your candidate was to lose, that we would become despondent. I think in a perfect world or a better democracy, both candidates would be capable of doing a good job.
I think what I heard on that call was not so much. Which, how could he have an affinity for the likes of Trump? But the direction the country was now going to be going, using words like communist and Marxism and just crazy talk about that COVID isn't, you know, not that many people, that it's a lie that all these people have died or that they got COVID, that was, you know, doctored up so that they could get through the CARES Act, the 20% more. I don't know how much they were. Just, and I know from watching Rachel. I don't have TV now, but I listen on MSNBC. And you know, when she went crazy over the fact that there was a rumor that doctors were getting kickbacks from saying a patient had COVID, you know, it would have been more accurate to say that hospitals were kind of getting money for all the care. All these ventilators, and how if you have a patient on COVID who's in the ICU, that's using a lot of resources and money that is depleting. It's only fair that they would get more money for COVID patients. It just wasn't framed that way. And so I think that even my own beloved MSNBC is guilty of a spin. And I can't believe I said that about Rachel, but... you can imagine what. And this person doesn't believe in the news, so he's, I think, just watching the tweets. I worry how many people are watching the tweets. I mean, another brilliant friend of mine who is Wade, has always been a Democrat, doesn't listen to the news and only reads the tweets, the Twitter, as he calls it. So I think, are there news source? I mean, I'm hoping there could be a new sort of news source that combines both stations. I don't know. Does that exist?
Well, that is a good question. Journalism is supposed to be, you know, non-sided. And I think that NPR makes that effort, but I think that there are those who would say that NPR spins left.
Yeah.
Even though they try not to. So I'm not sure. And one of the interesting things about being an NPR affiliate like we are is that I see these emails where station managers across the country are trying to make a decision about whether to air a press conference or not, due to the likelihood of falsehoods being said during the press conference. So it's an interesting time to be in the field of journalism. I think it's a challenging time for sure.
Yes. I mean, Rupert Murdoch, history will, there's so many good books that will be written, and I know that my children, when they're my age, will have a very different, that's what I'm optimistic about, that enough time will pass when the wrongs will be righted and the truth will be ousted and outed and things will be set right. It's just going to take time. There you have my optimism for the day.
Well, I think a lot of people feel a lot of optimism about Kamala Harris as vice president and what that means to people and women everywhere. It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And maybe we're going 3 steps forward and 2.5 steps back, but at least there's incremental progress.
I just think all these people talking their book, where they're all worried about their bottom line, forget to think about people that just want to eat, you know, that just want to be able to get their kids to school or go to the doctor, that just want to have, you know, what everybody else has. I don't understand this talk of communism and Marxism and I don't understand how people could put themselves so far above, you know, all these people that have been just trying to make ends meet. And thinking they weren't probably going to get much more and maybe didn't deserve more. I mean, I don't know how they could think that, but if so many other people don't think they deserve it, I'm not being real clear here, but it's just disheartening to see what so many people believe and can sleep at night and can have the nerve to tell me about it. It's shocking. It's shocking what so many other people believe and stand by, and they're going to regret it.
Well, words like communism and Marxism, you know, without any context, are just trigger words. But hey, I do want to tell you that we sure miss having you here at the station as a volunteer.
Well, I miss you guys more. Well, but living in the woods has its pluses, so, you know. Yeah, it's a long drive to get there, and Jessamine, I bought a card to send to her. Tell her I love her and I miss her, and you too.
Well, yeah. I have a text from Jessamine that says, tell Prudence, I love her. I love her so much. So, back at you.
All right. Good talking.
Take care, Prue.
Bye.
Thanks to everyone who's called in. We've got another caller who's been waiting patiently. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Is that me?
That's you.
Hey, hi, Graham. This is Jim.
Oh, hey, Jim.
Yeah, where to start? I think we're seeing the result of this started back. Well, okay, I'll digress for a moment. I remember the very first election would have been between Eisenhower and Stevenson in 52. And I was just a little guy, so obviously I couldn't vote. But I remember it, and it seemed like it was a peaceful transition. And up until the current time, every one of these has been a reasonably peaceful transition. There are disappointed people on both sides, but I think we're finally getting to the point where we're seeing the result of all the changes we've gone through, starting with kids in kindergarten being able to literally graduate from kindergarten with a mortarboard and their little gown. No kid has ever, ever been told, no, you can't have a prize. So everybody gets a prize, whether they did anything or not. Nobody ever loses. Everybody's a winner. Then when the cold facts come down, no, it can't be that way or it wouldn't work. It just shocks the crap out of them, and they don't know how to handle it. So they stomp their little bitty feet and stomp around, and we're watching what's happening as a result of these things. That's just my opinion, but I dare say I hope it's not my opinion alone. If somebody feels like reading or looking up something that's coming out in our local rag, the Whatcom County Eagle, tomorrow, I have a letter in there that I think will entertain most folks, and I try to be as objective as possible. We'll see how that is accepted by the general public. I write fairly often, and I have a couple of different friends who are exceptionally conservative, but it doesn't make me not like them. I don't agree with them politically, and they most certainly don't agree with me politically, but we're able to get together, have a cup of coffee, and enjoy each other's company. But I don't know that that's even become impossible. It was too many people nowadays. You're either on one side of the thing or on the other side. And if you're on the other side, you're the bad guy. It makes no difference what the other side is. And that's troubling. And another thing that irritates the dickens out of me is people have no concept of history. I have an uncle that was a Marine on Iwo Jima. By the way, happy Veterans Day to the veterans and Semper Fi to the Marine Corps birthday of yesterday, of which I'm a proud member. But my uncle and the men of that generation and women of that generation fought against the very same thing that's trying to be proposed now. You know, it's just astonishing that people have no concept of history and are failing to do anything about it. And the idea that this guy can throw a coup on the United States just because he doesn't like the result and he doesn't know how to say, gee, somebody else actually won, that's exceptionally troubling. And we can see exactly what happened in the 1930s that led to the Second World War. And I would hate to think that our country could let itself have a coup like so many other countries have. There's a Frank Zappa's Mother's Invention had a tune that came out in 1964. It Can't Happen Here was the name of the song. And, I mean, he was prescient in his grasp of situations and history. It's too bad the guy's not around to this day to see how exactly right he was in his lyrics and his thoughts and his music. Another thing, while I'm still ranting and raving, is how can we possibly send one dime to offshores when we still have people in Flint, Michigan that have fouled water? They cannot use their water. They cannot bathe in their water. They cannot drink their water. This has been going on for several years now, and we continue to send billions of dollars to other countries. Why? I don't get it. I understand on one level it's because, oh, gee, maybe we were picked on a long, long time ago, so let's feel bad. Let's make up for that. No, we need to take care of America first. I understand Trumpism in that, take care of America first, but they're not doing it. they're sending money to these other places just like these always has happened over the years. And I don't get it until we can't make our citizens have safe drinking water. Our freeways are falling apart. Bridges literally fall down. There's a couple few years ago in Minnesota, a bridge fell down on a freeway and killed people. Why can't we spend that money here? We're supposed to be the greatest country on earth. We got the crappiest health care in the history of the world. Every country on earth with a written language has better health care than we do. Why is that? Well, we know why it is. Our legislatures, our Congress, the people in big government, they already have what we want, but they don't want to let us have it. And they have single payer. And if you think that President Trump had COVID, gee, I think I've got a bridge I might be able to part with fairly cheap. You know, it's just astonishing. And if he did have it, the kind of care he received, helicopter ride to the best care in the world, that ain't happening. That ain't happening to people around here that do get COVID. They're lucky they get any treatment at all that will survive. One thing that has happened, however, is with the prevalence of COVID, they have learned how to treat it better. But still, people are dying. They are still dying. Now, another thing, that very first caller we had this morning, I don't know who that was, but bless her little heart, like us, she has no TV. She listens to the radio for her news, and she reads. With that in mind, if you have a comment to add to that, I'll just sit by and listen.
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on your show today.
Well, thank you, Graham. I appreciate it, my friend.
Yeah, no, I think we've got a conversation host in the making with you, Jim.
I'm sorry, what?
I think we've got a conversation host in the making with you.
Well, I would love to do that. I would really, really love to do that. You just let me know how to pull it off, and I'll do it.
Cool. Well, I appreciate your calls every time.
All right. Thanks, Graham.
Thanks, Jim.
Have a good one.
You too. If you're just joining us, we're getting close to the end of the show here on your Wednesday morning Veterans Day episode of The Conversation. We're doing an election refraction show. Reflection. 503-325-0010 is the number to call. Let us know how you feel about the outcome. Local, state, national elections, things that you're looking forward to, things that are inspiring to you, things that you're concerned about. And also interested to hear how your families are handling Thanksgiving this year. Sounds like folks are having some intimate celebrations with their closest loved ones and their pets, which is the best we can do. I sure am optimistic about having Kamala Harris as vice president. And also Joe Biden as someone who's saying, let's bring down the temperature a little bit. Let's work together. Let's beat the COVID thing so that we can get together as families. And I do hope for another economic stimulus package for the folks that are struggling right now. What are your hopes? 503-325-0010. About 10 minutes left in the show. Lots more time to chat if you've got something to say. Thanks to all the callers who have called in so far. And in case you missed it, Saturday was KMUN's annual member meeting, where we heard some messages from staff, and we got a report from the president of the board of directors, and we awarded the coveted director's award to one Lisa Smith, who has been a longtime friend and asset to the station. She was a station manager. She got the newsroom built. She got us on generator backup power during her time here. She really cranked up our news department in a significant way, and we still use the same programs and services that she started. And she served as a board member this last term. She helped me apply for a significant grant from the MJ Murdoch Charitable Trust, which was successful. So a well-deserved director's award to Lisa Smith this year. And we gave away some programmer awards, some volunteer awards. And you can listen to that on our podcast page. Go to Special Programs, and you'll see the 2020 Annual Member Meeting if you want that full update. Programmer of the Year went to all of our homegrown programmers who are just doing amazing work creating radio from the comfort of their own homes with a little bit of help from some remote recording or broadcast technology and some intestinal fortitude. We're still on the air. So thanks to everybody who's made that happen. Volunteer of the Year went to Mr. Jacob Lewin, who's been a volunteer for our news department. He comes to us from a long history as a radio broadcast journalist, and he's bringing his skills and talents to KMUN's news department, which is just really amazing. And congratulations to KMUN's Rookie of the Year DJ this year. That was DJ B from B's House. We've just gotten so much positive feedback about the funk and soul jams that he's bringing to you every other Thursday night. So check out DJ B with B's House. Congratulations to you. And then finally, we have one more award that we gave away called the Lynn Marie Diciani We Can Do It Award for Extraordinary Volunteerism. And this year, that award went to two recipients. It went to Jim Dott, who has helped manage all of the content for Bedtime Stories, Skinnamarink, Troll Radio Review, all of our children's programming. Is thanks to Jim Dott and his, boy, he's doing a lot of work to get that stuff on the air. And then Marianne Myers, who is helping to distribute the equipment to the homegrown radio programmers. And she is just working so hard and does such a good job of training the new programmers on how to use it and then helping folks reserve the gear and transfer it from DJ to DJ. A little behind the scenes and how this is all working, but thanks to those volunteers who are making it happen. It's quite a crew we've got around here. I think our news department has had a really good year, welcoming Kathleen Morgane back to the fold. She's just such an amazing journalist and anchor and host of Morning Edition and All Things Considered, local news, weather. So thank you to Kathleen for coming back onto the staff. And another new staff member is Mr. Nevada Soul, who's been helping with downloads, file transfers, rendering, and getting everything onto automation since all of these programs are recorded ahead of time. So that's all on our podcast page, Special Programs 2020 Annual Member Meeting. It's thanks to our members that we're here. We had a successful fall pledge drive thanks to you. And we can keep our staff employed, and we can keep our FM signal blasting through the air into your radio. Can't do it without you. 5 minutes left in the show. We've had three open phone lines while I yammered on about our amazing volunteers and programmers and members. But let's hear from you. We've still got plenty of time to chat. 503-325-0010. Anything that you're optimistic about, anything that you would like to see happen in the next few years, 503-325-0010. Here's a little music. Conversation on KMUN. It's a live call-in show, and what do you know? We've got a live caller. We've got a live one. You're on the air. Go ahead, Ed.
And I'm alive. That's good to know. Well, like, I just wanted to talk about the District 32 election.
Okay.
I voted for the ballot measure to limit campaign contributions. And the one that really struck me about that one was both candidates, according to the newspaper, Ms. Weber's 10% of her contributions were local, 90% from out of the area. And Debbie's was, 6%, according to the paper, was local, means that a whole bunch of it, you know, 94% came from elsewhere. And the amount of money spent on that, you know, $1 million something for Debbie and 900-some-odd thousand, I think it was, for Ms. Weber. And I think that's, you know, I don't like that. I don't like it coming from elsewhere. I like it to be local folks supporting local candidates.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Ed, but $2 million could go a long way towards local COVID relief, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or infrastructure.
Yeah, all kinds of things. I mean, that's just, you know.
And that's just one race.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, compared to it used to be that, you know, local candidates, like, you know, even though they're running for state office, but it still was, you know, maybe 20 or 30,000 or maybe a little more than that, but not that kind of money. And I agree, you know. My other big thing is the COVID thing. I think, you know, we need to get that under control, and I'm hoping with at least the currently declared president-elect that science will start to count again. You know, that we won't just be shooting from the seat of our pants with weird stuff, that we will respect science. And, you know, if wearing masks gets us through this thing, which would help the economy, then let's wear a mask. I refuse to go anywhere. I've got a meeting coming up tomorrow night. So the first question I ask, are we wearing masks? Because if we're not wearing masks, I'm not going.
So going back to the campaign financing, what's the pathway out of this?
Well, there you go. I wished I had all the answers to that one. I don't know, but somehow, you know, the Supreme Court screwed us up in the first place back when they made that decision about, you know, the big donors could throw in whatever they wanted. But this one, you know, the local kind of stuff, like, I don't know.
I mean, it seems like everyone should just get the same budget, right?
Yeah.
Same resources, make it an equal fight.
Yeah. Yep, which I think that's what we attempted way back when you can check off in your taxes, do you want to make a contribution to the, I think it was the presidential election. But, you know, it hasn't worked. So somehow if we could address that issue nationwide, not only statewide, but nationwide, I think that would be a real important one. Now look at nationwide, same thing, and the billions of dollars we spend on that stuff that could be going to, you know, help out poverty, get COVID under control, housing for homeless folks. You know, there's tons of stuff that we could be spending that money for that we're not.
Yeah, millions and millions of dollars for campaigns that didn't even win.
Yep.
That didn't even make it to the race.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, just to comment on the presidential thing, I know there are a lot of Democrats probably that were disappointed that Bernie and other candidates, more progressive candidates, didn't get in there. But look what happened this last time when we made an abrupt change from a, you know, an Obama presidency to a Trump presidency. And so I think we need a Joe Biden in there to, you know, kind of level things out. And, you know, eventually if we need more progressive things, we work towards those. But I can't see how we could have made a jump from, you know, one direction totally in the opposite direction and have a candidate that was going to win. And I think Biden is a steady guy. You know, is he a plotter? Maybe he's a plotter, but maybe we need a